Ephesians, scripture by scripture. And if you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, we are going to cover from verse 12 and 13 today. It's going to be an awesome time hearing the Word of God. Remember, previously we studied the spiritual blessing that was poured upon us in the book of Ephesians. And we saw that these spiritual blessings were how God chose us before the foundation of the world. And also we saw that He predestined and adopted us in Him. We received salvation as in this life we received salvation, but before He called us, before the foundation of the world, but in this life we received salvation through Jesus Christ, and we were redeemed, or we were purchased by the blood of Christ. And then we saw last week the mystery of His will. And remember, in the book of Ephesians, we saw the mystery of His will has been revealed, and we saw what a great mystery. The greatest mystery is that a sinner like you and me have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw that in Scripture last time, in the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians, how the Gentiles who did not know God have been brought into the kingdom of God. And also we saw that we were not redeemed, we were not saved by chance or anything. It's not by an accident that we will happen to know this salvation, but it is by the purpose of God, who works all things according to His counsel and the wisdom and His will. We saw that last time. And we saw that God is being an intelligent being. Everything was planned and was decreed by God. We saw that last time. In verse 12, Ephesians 1:12 says, "In Him also we have obtained an..." verse 12. "That he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory." And 13, "In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." I'm going to take only verse 11 and part of 12 today. And let us see if you are a thinking Christian. I told you we do not just read the Bible, but we study the Bible. Study means to examine, to dig deep, to understand what it says. Now let me ask you a question. When you read verse 12 and 13, I'm going to ask you a question. In verse 12, the apostle says that we who trusted in Christ should be the praise of His glory. My question is, who are we here? Who are we here? When Apostle Paul says that we who trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Who are the we here? Tell you. I told you, when I teach, you got to think with me. You got to be with me. Okay? So naturally, many of you says that we are us. You're wrong. Okay, now let me explain it to you. Paul is saying we. We, okay, then if you say we are us, then see verse 13. In Him you also trusted. So here, verse 13 says, "In Him you also trusted." Who? We and you. We, in verse 12, then you. We trusted, you trusted. What do you see? Two different groups. We trusted, then you trusted. Isn't that what it says? Verse 12, that we who trusted in Christ. Verse 13, in Him you also trusted. See? Think very carefully and see there are two different groups here. We who trusted in Christ, then verse 13, in whom you also trusted. see the here we see the apostle is speaking to two different people. Verse 12, who first trusted in Christ were the Jews, the apostles. In verse 13, you in whom you also trusted, the Gentiles. Remember, the context is very important. Last time we were studying on the mystery of the will of God, right? It goes, flows with the context. And here Paul is speaking that we means himself and the Jews. They can give praise to God who first trusted in Christ, because the gospel was first preached to the Jews. The disciples, the apostles, they were Jews. They were the first to embrace the gospel. Then we also heard the gospel and we were saved, and so we can also praise God. You know, that we who trusted in Christ, that's the apostles and the Jews, should be to the praise of His name, glory in Him you also trusted, that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Wow. So here we can also praise. They can praise and we can praise God. Why? Because of salvation. Because of the gospel. God is the author of salvation. He is the beginner of all things. And He is, all the glory goes to God. The unbelievers cannot glorify God. They cannot praise God. Why? They cannot see the grace and the goodness of God. Only when we realize, when we were wretched, miserable, pitiful sinners who were directly heading to the lake of fire, but God in His mercy saved us and redeemed us and forgiven us, pardoned us and adopted us, and we can call God Abba, Father. Oh, wow. We can praise God for that. An account of all things what He has done, we can praise God and we can give glory to God. Now, see verse 13. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also being believed, having believed. Now, take a closer look at this scripture. Very closely, it says here, the word of, verse 13, it says, the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation. The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And gospel is not a truth, but the truth. God is the truth who cannot lie. And out of God comes the truth, the gospel, the doctrines. The gospel has the power to save the most ungodly, wicked sinner. I'm going to really emphasize today on the gospel because it's so important. The gospel can save the nature, you know, the nature of man is so evil, is so sinful, and the education cannot change the nature or the sinfulness of man. Wealth cannot save. Religion cannot save. Coming from a good family cannot save. Okay? Only the gospel has the power to save the nature of the sinful nature of the man. It can change the drug addicts, thieves, murderers, prostitutes, liars. It can change even those religious good people whom they think that they are good. There is power in the gospel. So Paul is saying now we can praise God for our salvation. This salvation, the gospel of your salvation. It's sad that many don't realize how awesome is the gospel. I'm going to show you that. It's so important. Turn with me first to Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. 1:16, Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." It is the power of God. Wow. The word power in Greek is dunamis. It literally means like a dynamite. That's what it is. It can break any hard heart. It's like a dynamite that explodes. It has power. But it is sad that many who are called Christians have a very shallow understanding of the gospel. Today, the majority of the churches we should be mourning as they watered down the gospel. The gospel is being polluted. There is a worldly gospel being preached today. A worldly gospel cannot save people. It will save a lot of people who are emotional. But in reality, there is no true repentance. Usually there's a gospel being preached where people like to hear what is not what they need to hear. This gospel is for the flesh, basically. There's a gospel of entertainment. If I want to, we can have a lot of musicians here with guitars and everything like that. And we can have all kinds of musical things going on and bring people here. So they will be dancing and raising hands and all kinds of stuff. But it is not through other things, instruments, that we can win people to the Lord. It is only by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can fill the church with emotions. But it is only for the flesh, not for the heart, not for the soul. So also the gospel, there is churches that are packed today who mix the truth with the opinions of men. And they have all kind of high-tech entertainment, and there is no conviction of sin. It's really bad. The result is their lifestyle. Look at their lifestyle, how they live. They have a form of godliness, but yet there is no true holiness in God. There is no sanctification. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5 said, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof." And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth." Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wow. So the problem with the modern church today is that the gospel is presented to the sinner as a means to solve their immediate problems. Right? And if they say, "Well, you don't have finances." Oh, Bible gives the answer for that. You know, to immediate problems. So the gospel is being presented to the sinner to solve their immediate problems, to meet their practical needs. It's more like a pragmatic gospel. As a result, there is no true repentance. There is no holy living before God. But the God of the Bible is the Almighty, all-powerful God, which He deserves reverence and respect. Today, people have no really fear of God. No wonder if people have no fear of God, they have no respect to God. No wonder even the children have no respect to their parents, as they don't have a concept of God. The church today is more like the church of Laodicea. Turn with me to, hold on to Ephesians and turn to Revelation chapter 3:14. Revelation 3:14. This is talking here, and to the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wow. You know, many churches today are very rich. They are very wealthy. They have everything. They have the programs going on, you know, the clubs and the associations and the coffee shops, the gymnasiums, and they even have some churches, even have some kind of a charity program helping the poor. Do you know even the Buddhists help the poor? The church of Laodicea, they had a religion. They believed in Christ also. However, the gospel was polluted. And though they were rich, physically rich, big buildings, a lot of people, they were spiritually poor. You see, if you have a polluted gospel, you are going to be spiritually poor. Without the true gospel, people are wretched, miserable, poor, naked. They don't see that they are naked. Now, how can you cover your nakedness? How can you cover your nakedness? The only way you can cover your nakedness is that you need the righteousness of God. We are going to hear this word righteousness today a lot. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Isaiah 61:10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. Wow. The church in Laodicea, they didn't have this righteousness of God. They were naked. They had all the beautiful things outside, but inside they were spiritually poor. You know, it is sad today that there are many people, they are not hearing the word of the truth. They have no idea what the gospel means. And many people, they trust in their church more than the word of God. You know that? They even trust. They always exalt their church more than the word of God. And you need to just look at the websites. I do go and I look at their website. When you look at the website, what do you find? You will see all the programs. And you will see all the programs, the clubs and the coffee shops and the gymnasiums and, you know, everything else. You don't see the gospel there. You don't see the teachings of the Word of God. You don't see the doctrines. You don't see how I can grow in the Word of God. That is the whole purpose of a website or a computer, is you being used for the glory of God, that people will come to that website and they will get saved. And that they will grow. You don't see anything like that. And where's the power of the Word of God? Where's the apologetics that you want to know? Hey, Jehovah's Witnesses is coming to my door and knocking all the time. How can I defend the gospel? Nothing like that. Instead, they exalt their programs. Beautiful graphics. Nice pictures. Remember, in the Old Testament, there is a good lesson we can learn in the Old Testament. The Jews had the same problem. They trusted in the temple more than the Word of God. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. Chapter 7. Verse 4. Actually, starting from verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim that this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you Judah who enter at these gates to worship the Lord. God is telling Jeremiah, Jeremiah, I don't want you to preach in the temple, but at the gates at the temple. That means in the parking lot. When people are coming to the temple, I want you to preach to them. What does it say? Verse 3. Thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Verse 4. Do not trust in these lying words saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. People were trusting in the church. They were saying, well, no disaster is going to come. We are in the temple of the Lord. Jeremiah was proclaiming, if you don't amend your ways, there is judgment of God is going to come. But judgment came. Babylonians came and destroyed. And we know that in the future. But what people were trusting in the church more than the word of God. That's what I'm saying. Many people exalt their churches today, but not the word of God. And it's sad. And their lifestyle is a proof of their walk, because they are not holy before God. There is no holiness in them. Now, what is the gospel? The gospel is called the good news. We all know that. Good news from what? Good news from what? The good news is from the bad news. There is no good news without the bad news, right? So, there is no good news without the bad news. And what is the bad news? The bad news is that we are in trouble. That's the bad news. The bad news is that you are an inherent sinner. You're a born sinner. And apart from that, not only you're a born sinner, God gave His law, that is the moral law, the Ten Commandments, and we have violated all the commandments. Not only we are born sinners, but we have violated His commandments. And the law of God shows, what is the law of God shows? It came from a righteous God. The law of God shows His perfectness. God wants perfectness. The law of God is the standard that is to be measured. Okay? It is the perfection and the glory of God. How we have measured up to the glory of God. In Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have failed to keep the standard. The law is a double-edged sword. What the law does says, it's going to strip everybody's righteousness, people's righteousness. Now let me tell you something that is really important. You cannot preach in the gospel. It's a two-sided coin, okay? One side you find the law, and the other side you find grace. So this is really important. The law and the gospel goes together. You cannot separate one from another, okay? So one side, the law, is the moral law, that is the Ten Commandments. It is it requires. In the Ten Commandments, what does the law require? It requires righteousness. That's what the law requires. It requires righteousness. And what does the law do? It shows you're a sinner. It shows that you can never fulfill the law. And what is sin? 1 John chapter 3, 4 says what sin is. If you turn with me to 1 John 3, 4. Whosoever commits sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is what? Is the transgression of the law. That's what the Bible says. So sin is what? Transgression, breaking the law is sin. That is sin. And many think that they are righteous before God, and many will not admit that they are sinners, and they will not admit they are violators of God's law. You know, it all began with Adam, if you remember. When Adam sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing what they did was they realized they were naked. Right? So the first thing they did was they were ashamed of their nakedness, so they covered their nakedness with leaves. So they covered their nakedness with leaves. From that day, that's the beginning of man covering their wickedness, their sins, with their righteousness. It's the man-made righteousness. Since then, including the worldly church today, they cover their righteousness, they cover their themselves, and they want to show how righteous they are with their programs, with their all the other things that is going on. If you turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 3. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, this is talking to the Jews, but really an application for a lot of people today, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. People want to establish their own righteousness. They have their own righteousness. So there is a man-made righteousness to show God, I'm all right. One day a man came to Jesus. If you turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, we see this story. Matthew 19, 16. And behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" He said, this man thought he was very righteous. So he came to Jesus and said, "Well, you know, Jesus, what good thing can I do that I can have eternal life?" Now let me ask you a question. If a person today came and asked the modern church, "What good thing that can I do I can have eternal life?" Many would say, "Whoa, just, brother, you want eternal life? Just say this prayer and you will be saved." Right? Say this sinner's prayer and you will be saved. But Jesus didn't do that. What did he do? Let me see. Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter eternal life, keep the commandments." Jesus went where? To the law. See, you preach the gospel. Before you give the gospel, you got to go to the law. What did I say? The law and the gospel cannot be separated. The law will strip your righteousness. So Jesus said, he said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witnesses." Where do you find that? In the Ten Commandments, right? "Honor your father and your mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." I have kept everything. So he said, "Well, Jesus, you know what? I am righteous. I'm righteous." And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect..." Now what does righteousness do? It brings perfection, right? "So if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will come and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Listen. What is the sin of this young man? He had violated the first commandment. What is the first commandment? "You shall have no other gods before me." This young man had his wealth as his God. He cannot leave his wealth and follow Jesus. He has violated the first commandment. You see that? And here we see he thought he was pretty righteous. But when the law came, it stripped his righteousness and showed his sinfulness. Remember Jesus at the well with a Samaritan woman? And Jesus stripped that woman's righteousness, exposing her sins and to show that she has violated the commandments of God in adultery and in sexual immorality. And Jesus even exposed the law to show our inability to keep the law. When he said, "You have heard it was said of those old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, even if you look at a woman with lust for her, you have already committed adultery with her in her." It shows that man sees, it shows it is impossible for us to keep the law. We can sin not doing it, we can sin in our heart even. That we are guilty before God. This is the gospel. Gospel, for you to preach the gospel, first you have to show your sin, that you are a sinner, that he is a sinner, have broken and violated the law of God. So you go to the law. That's why Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says, there's none righteous. Apostle Paul said, not even one. So what's going to happen now? If there's none righteous, all are sinners. God is going to punish the sinners because they have violated God's moral law. And the wrath of God is going to come. So when we understand how seriously we have hurt God, we should feel how terrible the justice is going to be, God's justice. How can he pardon my sins? And, you know, how can I escape the righteous wrath of God? And God is going to punish the sinner. The door to heaven is shut. And we are waiting for that dreadful day, which is called the day of judgment, that is going to come, where God is going to judge and expose all your secret thoughts and the actions that you have done. The judgment is coming. That's why the book of Hebrews 9:24, chapter 9, verse 27 says, just as a man is destined to die and after that to face judgment. Now, if God is infinitely right, God is definitely infinitely righteous, for us to be in heaven with a righteous God, we need to have the same righteousness. We cannot have a less righteousness to be with an infinitely righteous God. We need to have the same righteousness to be with the same God, to have fellowship with Him. Okay? This righteousness is called the perfection of God. We need to be absolutely perfect to be with a perfect God. Sinners cannot live with a God who will, you know, God is not going to compromise your sins, and sinners cannot live with a holy God. That's why Psalm chapter 5 verse 4 says, for thou art not a God who has pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. So how can we receive this righteousness? Not a man's righteousness, but God's righteousness. That means his perfectness. I'm going to show you in scripture why the gospel is called the good news. And I'm going to show in the gospel there is this righteousness. Turn with me to Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and also for the Greek. Verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In it, in the gospel, what is being revealed? the righteousness of God. Wow! It is written that just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Wow! Now we can go to heaven, be with a righteous, holy God, because the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. This is the power of the gospel unto salvation. Let's make it clearer. The gospel is centered on whom? On Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no gospel. Right? That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Apostle Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1, let's turn. So Paul says, Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received and which you stand, by which you also save. You're saved by the gospel. If you hold fast that the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. And he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, according to the Scriptures. So here we see the gospel is centered on the person of Jesus Christ. So the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel is not our righteousness, but as Martin Luther, the reformer, said, it's an alien righteousness. That means it is not righteousness that is in me, but it is an alien righteousness. It's a righteousness apart from us, which is the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10:4 says, if you turn with me to Romans 10:4, see, Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Wow! He is the end of the law for the righteousness for everyone to believe. Wow! All of the righteousness is found in Christ Jesus. Now, God prophesied this in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. You need to underline this scripture. Jeremiah 23, 6. Jeremiah 5, starting from verse 5. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. That means the future. That I will raise to David the branch of righteousness. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. Who is that king? Jesus Christ. In his days, Judah will be saved and all Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, in big, capital, bold letters, says the Lord our righteousness. In the gospel, what do you find? Righteousness is being revealed. In the gospel you find who? Jesus. Where do you find righteousness? In Jesus. Wow, amazing, huh? Jesus was born without the inherited sin. He was righteous in his birth. Not only that, he was righteous not only by nature, he also fulfilled all the commandments that was required by the law. So by fulfilling all the commandments that was required by the law, he was absolutely, infinitely perfect on this earth. Jesus said, Matthew 5:17, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. Matthew 5:17, I did not come to destroy the law or the prophets, I come not to destroy, but to fulfill. He fulfilled the law. We broke the law. He became righteous before the Father by fulfilling the law. He became righteous before the Father by his active and passive obedience. At the cross, all the sins of the believing sinners were imputed to Christ. The word imputation is very important in Scripture. In the Gospel, there you find imputation or the righteousness. Okay? He became the sinner. Then the righteousness of Jesus was imputed or charged to us. Jesus became the sinner. All the sins of the believing sinner was imputed to him. That means charged to him. So the believing sinners was charged to Jesus Christ, and Jesus' righteousness was imputed to us. Wow! That's why we say, Lord, nothing I bring to the cross, naked I come. Only you can dress me with a robe of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we became righteousness of God in Jesus. This is called, in theology, the imputation of Christ. The only way that I get a righteousness is from an alien righteousness, that is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. How did the Old Testament people get saved? How did they get saved? Good question, isn't it? Think about it. We have the Gospel. How did they get saved? They got saved in the same way that you and I get saved today. The Gospel. That's the Gospel. Now let me show you. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Hebrews 4:2. Everything what I say, I'm going to back it up with Scripture. Okay? Hebrews 4:2. Indeed, the Gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Talking of the Old Testament people. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. In the Old Testament, they looked by faith to the coming Savior who were going to come, that they were looking forward to the cross by faith. Now, we look backwards what happened to the cross by faith. In the Old Testament, they were looking by faith to the cross, to the Messiah, and by faith, okay, and here we are looking back, we are looking by faith, looking back to the cross to receive this righteousness. Romans chapter 3 verse 28 says, Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. The man is justified. The word justified means the man, a sinner, is being declared righteous in God. That's a legal righteousness before God. The word justify is so important that in the justification we find the righteousness. God declares the sinner justified. That means he is being declared righteous before God. That's why Martin Luther, the reformer, said justification is the article where the church stands or falls. Justification is the article where the church either stands or falls. This was the most important thing. The 16th century theologian Wilhelm Brecker said, justification is the soul of Christianity and the fountainhead of all comfort and sanctification. He who errs in this doctrine errs to his eternal destructions. Reformers, at the beginning, we were 1,000 years under the bondage of Roman Catholicism. When God used Martin Luther to come from that darkness, and Martin Luther saw
that the righteousness of God, you find righteousness of God only in the gospel. And this is the article where either church will stand or fall. And today, a lot of people, you know, do you know that the Roman Catholicism, they do not believe in the imputation of Christ. That means it's not an alien right. They believe in an inherent righteousness that is in them. That's why you've got to do all these good works. You've got to keep the, you know, do the everything you've got to do. You know, you've got to keep everything. It's not by the merits of Christ alone. You've got to do your merits. And Roman Catholicism said, if you believe in imputation, then let it be an anathema. That means you will be cursed. But today, how many people follow Roman Catholicism today? Amazing. Once you understand the truth of the gospel, the heart of the gospel is the righteousness in it. The result will be what? Your sanctification. Because Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says, according to He has chosen us, we read this before, in our previous studies, before the foundation of the world, that should be what? Holy and without blameless. So we saw the significance of God's righteousness and how it is being found in the gospel. Without God's righteousness, we are all lost. That's why a lot of churches are looking for all kinds of righteousnesses today. They are not preaching the true gospel. Once we receive the righteousness of Christ by the hearing of the gospel, by a preacher explaining it to it. You know, seeing the movie Passion of Christ, you will not understand the righteousness of God in the gospel. Because a preacher has to be there to explain sin, to explain the righteousness. Romans chapter 10 verse 13. Romans 10:13 says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So a preacher's job is to what? To explain the gospel. To explain. That's why in the book of Ephesians later, you will see God has appointed what? Teachers, pastors, evangelists. For that reason, to explain this so you can understand. So just seeing a movie, you are not going to hear the gospel. You're going to be very emotional. Once we understand the true gospel, that we are saved by the righteousness of Christ, then you know what? We will practice that righteousness. We will grow in sanctification. We will know who are the hypocrites who call themselves Christians and who are the genuine Christians by practicing righteousness. This righteousness doesn't end. It's going to stay until we live. I'll show it to you. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1 verse 20. 1 John chapter 2. A lot of people know it by head. A lot of theology is in their head. But when it comes to the real lifestyle, they know all the things that I taught before. Now, it is so important that you need to know what I'm going to teach now. Okay? So 1 John chapter 2 verse 29 says, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is what? Born of him. So if you know that he is righteous and you are born of him, naturally you will practice righteousness. Now let's see 1 John chapter 3 verse 7. 1 John chapter 3 verse 7. Little children,
Let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the sons of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. It's very clear. So there is a, once you are a true Christian, you will see you are born of God. You receive the righteousness of Christ, right? That was imputed to him. And once that righteousness is imputed to him, you are going to be righteous. What John is saying is that one cannot sin. It means that one does not sin. That means you will not continually practice sins. You will not have the pleasure of sinning. We all sin. If we do sin, we come in repentance and ask forgiveness from God. You know, this is why many cannot see sin as the gospel sees it. Many are saying that they are Christian, but they are living under darkness of ignorance of sin. They think that they are in the right church and have the right doctrine, but not the rich young ruler, if you remember, he thought he was righteous. And he thought he had the commandments of God, but he would not take the cross and follow Jesus. People are deceived by their corruptions. They have no sense of holiness that is required by God. They have pride, ambition, covetousness, the love of the world, greediness, boasting, idleness, and all these indulgences. Indulgences of sin opens more sin and more sin. But what we require in this righteousness will bring meekness, gentleness, self-denial, mourning for sin. If we do sin, we will mourn just like David, hungering and thirsting after the word of God, compassion, purity of the heart, forgiving one another. When we offend somebody and when somebody is hurt, and have a zeal for God and the fear of God, and the contempt for the world, these are precious jewels that is in the heart of a born-again Christian, and for God it is very pleasing to him. But the world will think these are very silly and makes fun out of the holiness of God, because they don't realize the gospel holiness. John Owen, the great Puritan, he said, I'm going to quote in this book, "An ignorance of Christ's righteousness is the reason why men go about trying to establish their own righteousness. So ignorance of how to live continually by the grace and strength of Christ is the reason why many turn to a lower standard of holiness, which is no holiness at all." Once you see the glory in the gospel, that hypocritical veil is torn apart and the grace of true repentance will come. True repentance is the doorway to holiness. The true gospel of holiness will purify the inward man, and it will lead to do good works, because which God has prepared beforehand. Ephesians chapter 2:10. We know Ephesians 2:8 and 9 very good, but we stop there. We don't want to read Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. And it says here, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let me close with this scripture. 2 Corinthians 7:1. having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Wow. Do you see the gospel? Do you see how important the power of the gospel? In the gospel, there's a righteousness of God that is being revealed. Now we can go to heaven absolutely infinitely righteous, not because of our good righteousness in us, but it's because of the righteousness of Christ. Nothing that I can do to go to heaven, nothing I can please God, it's all because of Christ Jesus. Let Him be the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise You. We thank You, Lord, for Your beautiful Word of God, which is so powerful for us, Lord, as it shows how clear the gospel is, but a lot of times we don't see it because a lot of times we read the Word of God instead of studying the Word of God. Oh, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, that You would give us the wisdom of the Spirit, Lord, that you would show us, explore all the richness and the goodness and the marvelous things that are in Your Word, that we would just eat Your Word, just like Jeremiah said, that I ate the Word of God, I was satisfied. So, Father, that we will be only be satisfied by the spiritual food. So, Father, that we, even though we are very few here, Lord, as You are not going to look how many people we have, how big is the building, but You look to the heart and the motives of men. So, Father, we pray and ask, Lord, the word that we heard today would be a blessing for us, and that we will be able to meditate on these words for the rest of the week, and even later, Lord, that we would meditate upon them, so that we would be obedient to the Word of God, that we will be excited of the Word of God, that we will be able to go and tell somebody also what God has done in the gospel, that righteousness is being revealed, that people don't have to do their righteous work, but the gospel you see, the righteousness of Christ. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand and let's sing this song.